Laugh it up, fuzzball.
He's no good to me dead.
Evacuate in our moment of triumph.
These aren't the droids you're looking for.
It's a trap!
Red 5 standing by.
You must unlearn what you have learned. I am your father.
Aren't you a little short for a stormtrooper?
Pizza, wonky Chewbacca.
I'm going to regret this.
At last we will reveal ourselves to the Jedi.
No, they won't.
This party's over.
Welcome, we're here. We have gathered some local prominent nerds to discuss Star Wars again. if you remember, if you listened to the first one, it was called Dork Summit. Or no, see, now I'm calling you. This, now it's called Dork Summit. Before it was called Megacast. And we talked about, just after the Star Wars news broke, the news, the day, what were you doing day when the Star Wars news came out?
Everyone will remember.
Yep. And yeah,
you looked it up. It was what, October?
It was October like 30th or something like that.
I remember.
End of October.
Take us back.
So now we have returned because a lot of Star Wars news is worthy of discussing.
Lots has happened.
And I'm Mikey from Dorktown and Perfect Boar and Flowing with Famous. And to the left of your podcast aisle, my left.
Lefty. I am Lefty Brown, Chris Brown from The Married Gamers.
Huge, huge gamer podcast.
Oh, whatever.
Okay. I mean, not that we have to explain that. We all know.
And I'm Brian Harley from podcasts that don't exist anymore, but one half of the Dumb Drum.
Dumb Drum, which there is some video Star Wars cred that you have from your production studio, as it were, on YouTube. You can find on YouTube.
Yes.
Jedi Squirrels. Can you do the Jedi Squirrels for us?
I'm trying to remember how it went. Jedi Squirrels. Something like that.
Ah, dude,
something.
That was terrible.
Oh, it was like that. You have to go back and watch
it. All right. Look it up on YouTube. Pause the podcast right now. Go look up Jedi Squirrels on YouTube.
Just type it in.
And then that's Brian. But also, as we explained on the previous one, that you do have some old school Star Wars online cred.
Yes. I used to run episode1.com and episode2.com and episode3.com. But episode2.com was...
That's when the juice was happening.
It's right when 1 came out and everyone was clamoring for news. Yeah. Back in those days. I feel those days are coming back now.
Yes. Right. You're going to have to start at episode7.com.
I'm sure it's already taken these days.
It is.
Especially someone like Disney probably is, even before they make announcements, buy all that stuff up.
Yeah.
This is true.
Disney's all, buy every .com that could possibly relate to Star Wars.
Back in 99, no one was thinking about domain names and such. Times have changed.
They had to pull themselves away from MySpace.
You're right. Friendster.
I'm busy on Friendster. Why are you bothering me?
GeoCities.
I'm waiting for Friendster to load. Go away.
So, you... I'm just going to move on because I could go in a whole rabbit hole right now of internetness, but we want to keep it to Star Wars. So episode 7, let's first talk about some episode 7 stuff. Some of the big news, obviously, John Williams is back. He's going to be back. It's official. That's an official one. That's one you can actually find on StarWars.com.
Yes.
John Williams will be composing.
How old is he now?
He's like, I want to say he's late 70s, like 78, something like that.
He's in there. Hey,
I wonder if how much is he going to record a bunch of stuff, and you know, so when he does meet his maker,
become one with the Force.
Yes,
he'll have like a bunch of Star Wars ish things that he can just plug in here and there.
I worry about that. I'm a warrior, and I'm like, please, John, please make it to 9.
It's like the fans of George R.R. Martin, like going, please finish the series because we don't want you to die before it finishes.
Yeah, he doesn't look You're not the healthiest man. Yeah. You're like, come on, man. Just at least throw up some stories, you know, at least a story out there. You don't have to write it all. Just throw out the basic story.
Hey, but I'll admit, you know, I want Williams to make it through nine, but if he doesn't and someone needs to fill in, J.J. Abrams' go-to composer dude, Michael Giacchino, I can never pronounce his crazy Italian last name, but he's really good. I really enjoy his stuff, and I think he could fit in. He's, you know, cited John Williams and Star Wars as being a major inspiration in his career, so I'd like to see him give it a try.
Completely panic if John Williams can't do it.
That's right.
I mean, it would definitely be a sad day. It will be a sad day when the inevitable happens. But, I mean, even like the solo films, you know, the non-episodic films that take place, even if he got a chance to practice on one of those.
I would assume they're going to use somebody different for those.
I would think so, yeah.
But who knows?
Don't want to overwork Mr. Williams.
No. All respect. Did you guys ever see that Star Wars in concert? When it came through town?
No. I did. I was there.
I was there as well. It was amazing. I was really glad I went.
Yeah.
Because I was like on the fence about going. And then once I went, I was like, how could I have been on the fence about this?
I'm waiting. Well, no. I saw that and I saw, Fellowship of the Ring.
Oh, okay. I didn't see that.
Yeah. Star Wars was better. But it was good. It was good.
Boom.
The Fellowship of the Ring was different because they played the whole movie.
Oh,
and then like
okay.
when there was musical parts,
right.
the orchestra was like, okay.
Well, that's kind of
the lights went up and they started playing. Yeah, the Star Wars one was different. But,
yeah, I would have. Yeah, I like the way they did it with the Star Wars rather than
there was a lot of lasers. I enjoy it.
I like the lasers. Yeah. I like the lasers, man. It's cool. So everyone's agreeing, John Williams great.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm.
And having that signature John Williams composing back there just screams Star Wars. And
what's funny is Disney did their big D23 expo at the Anaheim Convention Center that they do like every other year. And that was like the big Star Wars news to come out of the expo this year when it was something that had kind of been rumored and reported on months ago that J.J. had contacted John Williams.
Or wasn't it a big news at the Europe Celebration as well? Okay.
Yeah. And which was like 2 weeks prior to D23. And all the Star Wars events at D23, everyone had to come out and say, there will be no talk about episode 7.
That's the way it was at the celebration
With booze. It's part of me is wondering, why are they holding back information? I mean, a lot has to be going on right now. They're writing the film. They've got to be casting at this point.
Must not be solid enough for them to like make... Because they're very...
Fans are hungry, though.
Even before, I mean, you're talking about two entities, Disney and Lucasfilm, that are very protective of information coming out and don't give it out until it's official.
Right.
I do a gaming podcast, and speculation, a lot of gaming podcasts, all they do is speculate. All this rumor perpetuation, and then the hype gets higher, and then they announce whatever game and stuff, and people are like, well, why didn't they do this? Why didn't they do that? You know, and so I think they're trying to avoid the internet rage, the backlash. Yeah. You know, if they find out like someone else is going to play Chewbacca or Billy Dee Williams is the only guy that wasn't asked back, you know, there's going to be a huge backlash. So they're trying to
control expectations.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But that being said, my wonderful wife, as soon as they went on sale, bought us the celebration for 2015.
Oh, you in Anaheim. Lucky somebody.
That's gonna be
and
big.
I'm hoping that's, by April 2015, we're going to know a lot more.
That's going to be giant because it's – well, some people are speculating that you'll be able – they're going to screen the whole film there. I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think so. Because they're not going to want people to give it away.
I think you're going to get a solid scene of it.
Yeah.
You're going to get an extended scene.
Yeah.
But
and we may even hear some of the stuff. Like, I'm sure, Disney and to its credit is they're starting to get everything organized. They're getting that engine revving.
Mm-hmm.
So recently it was announced that Electronic Arts, EA, now has a license for Star Wars games.
Battlefront, yeah. Baby.
Yeah. Yeah, so Battlefront 3 was announced. You know, I'm sure they're going to be tie-in games to the films,
right?
Mm-hmm. And so all these different parts are starting to roll at the same time, and you know, so you have to. They're always and come on, it's J.J. Abrams. The guy doesn't want anything to get out. I mean, he's the guy who, you know, Lost and you know, Star Trek, all that. Everyone's lips were tied shut. So
right,
yeah. But I think we're actually going to know more about the movie when they release the toys than anything else.
You're going to be able to glean something off from the toys.
But we live in an age where information is everything, and if they want it immediately, they're going to have to give us tidbits along the way.
Yeah, it's called movie trailers, and you'll be able to officially see them first, tied to some Disney movie, and that's how we're going to get that information. So we'll get tidbits and stuff like that, but you know, big points. You know,
I mean, the casting is going to be huge. Oh, just to know.
Yeah, we'll know that.
Yeah,
we only have some classic actors as far as just even they haven't even really made it official, but we just all assume that you know all Harrison, all the big three are back, and then we just assume Chewbacca is going to be back and C-3PO. I mean, of course Anthony Daniels but there is on the IMDb page it does have. It does have Billy Dee Williams on there.
Oh, really?
Which is the only
can't be trusted.
Which is the is the only reference I've ever seen anywhere of Billy Dee being in the film
or doing anything for that part.
So I was like, huh? All right, well, but it does say rumored. It doesn't.
I mean, that's the thing. The rumors are. We're talking about, dare I say, one of the most anticipated films in film history. Is coming out, and you know, you saw what happened when the prequel trilogies.
Yeah.
So rumors are going to fly, and there was what was the casting rumor recently of Zac Efron and Ryan Reynolds, but who's the other guy?
Well, there's Jonathan Rhys Meyers was.
Oh yeah, Gosling.
Ryan Gosling.
Oh yeah, Ryan Gosling is rumored.
It's like. Well, no.
That seems like somebody who can start rumors like that was like, let's see what we can fuck with them in a little bit.
But those are getting reported. They really are. Yeah. They're getting picked up, and I hope there's no credence to them.
Do we respect the Latino review at all?
They're the ones kind of leading the charge with all these things.
But haven't they missed on some things as well?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, right now they're reporting that Obi-Wan Kenobi is returning.
Yeah, right.
And as a Force Ghost, which it would be weird, but I could get behind it.
Well, they reported the same thing a couple of weeks ago with Emperor Palpatine would be back, but as a Force Ghost. So it's like are there going to be all these Force Ghosts running around?
Yeah, I know. It's just it's just like half the movie's Force Ghosts. Yoda's like, "Hey, let the meat talk."
It's like the next Ghostbusters.
Yeah. Right.
Everybody's back,
as a Force Ghost. Don't cross the
Force. Well, I could see them bringing back the Emperor actually as a lot like because you just see him go down. You don't actually see him die.
Yeah. See, my theory though is the flashback. We know that somehow that iconic Darth Vader is going to be back. Now it's not going to be Luke's father.
That is a rumor
you really
as well.
Think so?
That's
really
a rumor think so. As well.
Now
I don't think
it will be Anakin Skywalker in it. Definitely not. No way. But
somebody's going to use this
in
suit.
Some sort of flashback. We're going to see the Emperor make arrangements for his next Darth, and
that was the rumor.
Yeah. Right? So we're not going to see Palpatine in full. You know, his whole Palpatine-ness.
Yeah.
Or is Sidious?
Yeah, yeah. So we're just going to see flashbacks, like, you know, he during was, this time, this was, yeah. was happening, and so
he was preparing a new apprentice.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah. I would like, because that has not ever been done in Star Wars, a flashback, right? Am I? Like a full-on flashback. Years ago, this happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't.
No,
think
it was
so.
All exposition. You know. Mm-hmm. You know, from a certain point of view.
Yeah.
Right.
So I mean, I could see like JJ being JJ is like. Well, I'm going to use flashbacks. I know George
Well,
never
he
did
opened
it.
Star Trek with a flashback.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you could see that happening. Well, like, I was going to mention it later, but, like, the novel, the Darth Plagueis novel mm-hmm. is essentially episode zero. Mm. It goes before episode one, and it actually blends into episode one, the story in it. Mm-hmm. And it's canon. It's very much, mm-hmm. nothing is, like, off. It's very much goes along with the episode 1, 2, and 3, like plays off of it, and it's definitely it's something you can flash back to.
First 30 minutes of the new Star Wars is just going to be C-3PO telling us the story of what happened.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say I don't want to reference or see anything about the prequel trilogy in this
Whoa.
New one.
I disagree with you.
I just don't want to.
I disagree with
you. Don't
want
to see it.
I disagree with you. I mean, obviously, there's a metric fuck ton of stuff that was wrong with it. However, I liked Ewan McGregor in, mm-hmm. in that film, in those three films. I actually liked the sort of Anakin Obi-Wan relationship in the third film quite a bit. That said, my main concern. Is having a Jedi-heavy universe again. That's the thing that mm-hmm. I loved about those 4, 5, and 6 was they were mysterious.
Right.
They were crazy people. You know, they were Mormons. You know, that crazy religion. You know, and then we jump back to episode 3, and it was Jedi. You know. 40 million Jedi can't be wrong, you know, that right. sort of thing. So I want more scoundrels. I would love for them to get to the point where, you know, sort of the Scarface moment where Luke is finally, you know, too much power and turn on himself and is destroying his whole order because, you know, he's gone down the wrong path. And, you know, we get into scoundrels and
well, and I don't disagree.
And
I don't disagree with that. I just I don't want to see references to the prequels. I don't want any of that to seep in. not because it's like poison, but I feel like let's move on. Yeah. That was the prequel trilogy. Fine, you don't need to harken back to it all these times. Ewan McGregor, I liked him yeah. too. I agree, but him coming back to play old Ben Kenobi, it just is weird, and we don't need it.
See, that's also the what I feel about all these original folks coming back. You know, Carrie and what's his yeah. name?
Harrison.
Well, not just Harrison.
That
I'm
Luke
getting,
guy.
Luke. Han and Leia.
Luke. Mind blank.
Well, see, we're not helping him either. We're not going to help you, Chris.
I
mean,
I don't want them to be no, huge.
Mark Hamill.
I don't want them to be
Bamel. Bamel. Schmamel.
I don't feel like they need to be lead characters either. And I'm okay with them making cameos, but then
right.
bringing in someone from the prequel trilogy right. like Ewan McGregor just feels
yeah.
Weird.
I want it to so
it is
like a James. I want it to be like a James Bond film.
Okay.
Where each and every they can have different bonds, and it still yeah. feels
okay.
No, not the spirit of James Bond, but
yeah,
just the fact that any person can be, you know, any selected person. There's different James people playing James Bond, and each one is you know each movie is equally exciting.
Well, okay. There's two things about the Ewan McGregor rumor is or okay one is Force Ghost, and two I think could be misinterpreted as. It could be talking about doing a solo project with Kenobi, like the Kenobi book is coming out.
Mm-hmm. So a prequel,
and you could, which is the Kenobi book is based on between 3 and 4.
I'd
basically
be okay with that.
Kenobi on Tatooine. What happens to Kenobi on Tatooine?
I would love to see that.
That
actually.
Could be
That, and it's like, it's basically the people that have read it so far, it's sort of like a Western on Tatooine with Kenobi.
See, that sounds cool.
And that would be an awesome one-off flick.
Do-do-do, a toonie.
Now, the Han Solo movie, I would not be interested in
that. Well, if you're going to blend all the, because they're talking about Boba Fett, like if you want to blend all that world in, the bounty hunter world and... I would like to see how Chewie and Han met. I would like to see that. And if you could put that in, I don't know if that carries 2 hours of a film, but...
Yeah, but you're not going to have Harrison and...
No, I know.
Mayhew.
It's going to be someone else cast.
How do you cast Han when Solo?
If you had to recast one of these characters, the internet's going to have a problem.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I'm gonna have a problem. I don't want to sully Han Solo like that. Just
give us new stuff.
Give us new stuff.
Let us play with new toys.
It's a huge universe,
but our kids.
Yeah, it is a giant universe.
There's plenty of room for new characters, new villains, new situations.
It's the spirit of Star Wars. It's the force of Star Wars.
Getting back to the Obi-Wan, if you have Luke Skywalker in a new movie, you kind of have to have a Obi-Wan Force ghost.
No.
Don't you?
No.
Because he's been a ghost. Four, five, and six. He's in all three.
Yeah, he's like, helping Luke
all of
along.
A sudden, like, in seven, he's just like, you're on your own, buddy. Yeah. I'm not coming back and telling you shit. You're on your own.
4, 5, 6 was about Luke's journey, and he helped him on that journey. He fulfilled his purpose, and now he's off in ghost land, happy being a ghost. He doesn't need to come back.
Well, they brought Tupac back. Can't they bring back Alec Guinness? I mean, come on.
I'm sure Lucas would have no problem with that.
Let's figure it out. It's technology and stuff. All right. So
edit that pause.
No, can't edit that. That would be very un-Dorktown.
That was just
dark somebody.
We were just exhausted from that conversation mentally and physically and emotionally.
Let's get to what you want to see as a I mean, we've kind of touched on it a little bit, but what you want to see as a story in episode 7. Like, what do you want to be heavy on the old characters, or do you want to see the new kids, the kids?
Obviously, we have to
A lot of people are assuming it's going to be what...
The torch passing.
Yeah, or it's going to be what the novels, the EU kind of laid out, where there's the Skywalker kids, there's the Solo kids and stuff.
Yeah.
Right. And I mean, that's the big question mark, is are they going to... You know, go along with what the EU has established, or just completely throw it in the dumpster and come up with something new.
I have a feeling they're going to dump it.
Yeah,
yeah, because you know it's under Disney. They can do what they want, you know, and yeah, people will complain about it, but just think of the opportunity to tell new things, you know. My fear with returning characters is. It'll be a little bit like watching Star Trek VI, you know, where Star Trek V, where they should have gracefully gone off stage.
Generations.
Yeah. Or no, before Generations. Oh, okay. And where they the one where they search for God. And they're looking a little ragged and tired. You know, last time I saw Mark Hamill in person, he was obviously like drunk. And no one wants their drunk uncle on the film, you know.
He's gonna shape up. He's in a gym right now. Okay,
they're all in gyms.
Yeah, Harrison's looking pretty good. He's out there. I don't know why the heck he's in Expendables 3, but
Anchorman 2.
Yeah. Well, that might be funny, but like Expendables 3. What, Harrison? Come on.
Yeah, that's a little weird.
What are you doing? He's getting old too. I just rest, Harrison. I want to see Indy 5 still. I want to see you in Indy 5 still. I know people don't want that, but I still want it. And I want to see you as Han Solo at least one more time. Like, do you think they're going to kill off Han Solo in episode 7? Like, Kerrison has been begging for himself, his character, to be killed off.
He wanted to be killed off in the original trilogy.
Right.
I hope not. Unless they can do it pretty cool or something. Unless getting eaten by a sarlacc or anything.
Yeah. You know, I think I said this on the previous summit, that I really hope they take it into the future. You know, this is, I hope they take it to Star Wars, you know, be like Star Wars The Next Generation. But instead of nice, shiny ships, the thing I always liked about Star Wars, you know, and the thing that sort of irked me among numerous things about episodes 1 through 3 was, it looked run down. It looked lived in. It looked like the ships that, you know, like that X-Wing was going to fall apart. You know, that, you know, they, Lord knows we all know how many times.
Well, like the Millennium Rebels Falcon would be like on shoestring budget Rebels. Or like,
yeah, I mean, heck, even, you know, the Death Star, you know, the completely operational Death Star still looked unfinished. You know,
That sort of
lived in universe. So I would love for it. And then you don't have to deal with who's going to play Luke Skywalker, you know, who's going to do, you know, none of this recasting stuff. You just start fresh in a lived-in universe, and, you know, you, and they uncover this history, you know. You know, I want everyone to forget about Jedis again and bring back that mystery. You know, and I want to that scum and villainy to be present everywhere. You know?
And while I think that's a great notion, I just don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's because of the plain fact that it's called Episode 7 and that it's because they're calling it Episode 7, 8, 9, you feel like it's going to fit within the construct.
It's got to fit in that universe still.
And plus it's J.J. Abrams and everything has to look nice with lens flare.
Do you think he will be putting in lens flares?
Guaranteed, 100%.
You're on board. Guaranteed, 100%. Brian, will there be lens flares?
There'll be at least one, probably.
I have to throw in one, Disney. enough with the lens flares,
That's
JJ.
Like asking to see if Hitchcock is going to be in a Hitchcock film. Or what's his name?
Yes, Tarantino.
But I was thinking the guy from Philly.
Yeah.
That is person non grata.
Twist.
Yeah, the twist.
Yes. I'm not sure.
What's a twist?
Yeah.
So.
What about you, Brian?
What about me?
Your hopes. Your hopes. Where are your hopes and dreams for episode 7, sir?
I don't know. I just don't want to be disappointed. And I.
You know that feeling you felt when you were leaving episode 1 for the first time when you were waiting 6 hours in line?
You know what? It took me a while to be disappointed by episode 1.
Because the first couple times I saw it,
I was just like, oh, I saw a new Star Wars film. I was just living off that high of seeing a Star Wars. And it wasn't until after, like, it settled in, then you start thinking, that Jar Jar character was fucking stupid.
Yeah, right. And now you occasionally pull it out just to watch the battle.
You know what? I watched it recently, and I wasn't hating it as much as I used to hate it. Yeah. I was enjoying it a little bit, and like what I was taking from the Jar Jar character is, if you just made the Jar Jar character accessible, like make him a human or something close to a human, and not be cartoonish. And just be like, because the best thing about Han Solo is like, he's like our viewpoint of like, this royal empire, you guys are stupid, man. Yeah. You should just be like cool and hang out. There wasn't that through 1, 2, and 3. That's what was missing. And that Jar Jar could have been the if you just take out the Jar Jar part and place in a cool character, that could have been throughout the films, but because he was because he was Roger Rabbit in Star Wars, you just like hated it, and it killed it.
My biggest problem with Episode 1 wasn't Jar Jar. It was this is Anakin. This is the super Jedi who became the most evilest badass in the galaxy, and he's saying lines like, "Are you an angel?"
He accidentally blows up the ship at the end. Whoops! Did I do that? It's like Steve Urkel was going to pop at it. But I might say, looking back, that one was my favorite of the.
Oh, that
whoa!
You take that those whoa. Words right out of your damn dirty
because
mouth.
Because when I
you're gonna have to explain that
because upon repeated viewings, I really like one is not as bad. It's a weird relationship I have yeah. with the prequel trilogy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I like you upon first viewing in 99 was okay with it, and then subsequent viewings you start to find mm-hmm. you know those problem areas, things that weren't so cool, mm-hmm. and then coming back you know 10 years later, it's not that bad compared to 2 and 3. 2 and 3 there's parts that mm-hmm. are just really really get into. Mythology stuff and just do it wrong, in my opinion.
Mm. Yeah. But I still love 3. You know, the story. That,
I love 3 too.
Because for me, it was that relationship between Obi-Wan perfect. And Anakin. It was a story right. of brothers.
For me, it was just a letdown, though. I mean, you're building up to Anakin's turn and you know he's going to lose some limbs and become Darth Vader, and I just felt like they missed the mark on all that stuff.
No, it was Anakin who missed the mark.
You should have listened to Obi-Wan. He didn't have the higher ground.
I mean, right. I wish there was more of that relationship between Obi-Wan and Anakin, especially in 2. But instead, they went off and sort of did their own things in that movie. It was two different plots, and
yeah.
they weren't together a whole lot. And I felt like when you got to that final battle in 3, the emotion wasn't there for me. I wasn't mm-hmm. in it as much as I wanted to be.
Yeah, you're making good points. I think that 3, like, I love 3, but it's really lives off the fact that so much cool stuff happened in 3. Mm-hmm. Less than the just like the if you just looked at it from one movie's perspective, not knowing all the other stuff, then maybe I'm with you. But then, like, all the cool stuff that it basically in episode 3 was what when I was a kid seeing Star Wars was like the stuff right. I was imagining in my head that
yeah,
I wanted to see.
It was wish fulfillment, yeah.
And 1 and 2 was just kind of like building up to 3,
right?
And so. It just like just automatically was awesome because you see, literally see the change over. Right. But maybe it's less about actually the story or how it was written. It was just the actual stuff that happened.
So episodes 1 through 3, you have the enemy being the rebels. So to speak, even though really the rebels are the people we should be chewing.
Or
that was really confusing.
1 through 3,
part.
It's the. The Trade Federation and the Republic.
Yeah, see the
it's confusing.
Too much
if you
politics.
Read Darth Plagueis,
too much government.
Read Darth Plagueis. It actually makes all that stuff better.
Yeah.
If George could have read Darth Plagueis before all that,
that was sort of the problem with episodes 1 through 3. I won't call them the originals. Whoops.
No.
But with 4, 5, and 6, you know, it was the Empire. You know, so my question is in 7, 8, 9. You know, I imagine that this is going to be another trilogy. Are we bringing back the Empire? Do you want the Empire back? Ooh. Do you want something else? I mean, I know in EU they introduced the Zvong or whatever they
his
those alien that from another galaxy.
I mean, I guess it all. Depends on what time frame episode 7 takes place in. If people like Mark Hamill are going to be in the film, then it kind of you're going to assume that it's going to be at least what 30, 40 years after
right.
Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
And Mon Mothma becomes Darth Vader.
I mean, think about that. 30, 40 years, yeah. That's a greater length than there is between 3 and 4.
Exactly.
Right.
And look what happened between 3 and 4. In 4, Darth Vader, he was following an ancient religion.
Yeah, yeah. Your ancient religion and sorcerer's ways. All these people are like, you're back in the Stone Ages, bro.
So if that sort of change can take place in 20 years, what could possibly take place in 30 to 40? I would assume the Empire would be long gone.
Well, a lot of people like isn't it, the EU? Was it Zahn's Timothy Zahn's novels or that
It's only the remnants of the Empire.
Doesn't Luke start the Jedi?
Yeah, he starts the Jedi's again.
There's a whole. I mean, do you see that happening? Where like there's a full on Jedi coming, and there's a Jedi Council happening.
Truth be told, because it's J.J. Abrams, and I really think that he'll want tight script control, and he wants to do his own thing. You know, he's going to be faithful to the spirit of Star Wars, but I think he's not going to waste his time reading, you know, book treatments on how the EU universe did. Mm-hmm. He wants to tell his own damn story based on how it ended in episode 6.
Well, it probably also depends on what kind of fan he is. I mean, he's a self-proclaimed, you know, Star Wars mega nerd. Does that mean he's read the EU?
I doubt it.
I mean, I don't know if he's addressed that in interviews or not.
He has directly said like, oh yeah, I've read this and I've read that. He hasn't really said, I don't. Thing, but I mean, he's not writing it. Michael Arndt's writing it,
right?
And I think a lot of people no one really talks about Michael Arndt. They just talk about JJ. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's writing it, and right now he has coming out I guess he has the main credit for writing is the new Hunger Games movie.
Really?
And his big one is Little Miss Sunshine,
yeah.
Which has you cannot glean anything from that.
Toy Story 3, too.
Yeah. Yes, you're right. So how can you get something off of that would relate into a Star Wars film? Right. I don't know. I guess character development, character
Alan
interaction.
Alan Arkin as Darth Vader.
Well, Luke, Leia, and Han are all going to die in a pit of garbage fire thing towards the end. I don't know.
But there is something actually recently, which I haven't checked out, but you guys might have seen, is Oblivion. Yep. He is the main writing credit for Oblivion. Mm. Now, is there something in that film that you can, like, writing-wise, that you can get off of that?
God, I hope not. I was not a fan of the movie, and had actually forgotten that he wrote it. That could not bode well.
Well, admittedly, I kind of liked Oblivion, but it really felt like it was hacked, like it was chopped to pieces and reassembled. And I have a feeling that a lot of his original script was probably,
I could see that, yeah.
Yeah, was tossed in order to appease maybe an actor in there.
An actor with some pull.
Some powerful actor that was in that movie. Oh, gross. Don't go after us, Scientology people.
What if Tom Cruise was in Star Wars?
Oh my God. Talk about stopping like everything.
Wow.
Holy crap, Tom Cruise is a Jedi.
No, he'll be the next Han Solo-ish character.
Yeah. Look at me, I'm cool like Han Solo, huh, guys? Yes, Tom.
I don't even know how the world would react to that. Well, I do know, but...
Would you guys be okay as Hayden Christian coming back as a Force Ghost?
Nope.
Talking about Force Ghosts?
Nope.
Come on, man.
Bring all the Force Ghosts you want back. But no Force Ghost Hayden, please.
Mace Windu.
I don't think I had as much of a problem with Hayden as most people did.
Yeah. Well, every time he had to say a line to, what's her name?
Padme.
Well, I'm sorry. I had a huge problem with George going back and putting him in Jedi.
Yeah,
because Jedi's my favorite of the original trilogy. I know.
Whoa,
Empire.
Man!
Everyone
now
says Empire.
Now you're on record as saying Episode 1 is your favorite. Jedi is.
When I was a teenager, Return of the Jedi was. Then I learned nuance and
everyone told me that if you're going to be cool, you have to like Empire, and I was like, yeah, Empire is the best.
Empire's a close second,
yeah,
but
that's great. Yeah,
I like Jedi.
Yeah,
and he put Hayden in there, replaced Sebastian Shaw as Anakin Skywalker.
Well, to his credit, he did take off that stupid Ewok song.
Okay, that's fine. I'll give you that.
That was like the one thing that George went in and changed. Everyone's like, that's cool.
I'll give you that.
Take away the Ewok song.
Take Hayden out of there don't have Darth Vader yell no.
That's the beauty of having it Disney. Because you know, right around the time Episode 7 comes out, you'll be able to buy your Blu-ray of the Star Wars trilogy. Either... Lucas Vision.
Or OG Vision.
Or the original, taken from the original
I've still got films. The VHS, so I'm fine.
Well, me too. Yeah, me too. But I mean, at least, and that's you know, something we could bring up is the fact that Lucas doesn't really have control anymore.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And Disney's a company that very much likes to make money.
Yeah.
And
they say he's, you know, a creative consultant on the project, and I'm sure, hey, you know, J.J. Abrams is going to listen to him if he has something to say.
That's right.
But just because he's listening doesn't mean he has to do it.
Right.
Yep.
It does. I get the feeling that once in a while you're going to see George visit the set, and it's going to be like, George is here, and they're going to be patting him on the back and like, oh yeah, George, yeah, oh, he's like, oh, I really it's like gonna what you're doing.
It's the same day when all the Force ghosts visit.
Yeah, I really like. It's like when the old man retires that owns the company comes back is like, oh yeah, and he's like, I really think you probably should do this. And like, okay, George,
right on that.
You say. We'll do that, George. Yeah, all right. Go ahead. See ya. Have a good day.
Well, let me write this down. Midichlorians.
Oh, more midichlorians. Oh, okay. Yeah. We'll get on that. We'll see you later. but yeah,
that alone gives me hope.
But yeah. Well, there's some things. The one I don't get to see much in the theater these days, but the one thing I did make sure to see was the new Star Trek film, because I want to see anything I'm going to see in Star. I mean, that's directly related to stuff you're going to see effects wise and directing wise. And there are a couple problems. Like, I generally like the film, but one thing now that's becoming almost as famous as the no is the hand on hand on the glass with Spock and Captain Kirk, hand on the glass cheesiness. Mm-hmm. Now that's one of the first things that makes me worry a little bit about JJ is that's something, even if that's written in there, JJ can go, that's too cheesy, I'm not doing that shit. Mm-hmm. And he let that in there.
In defense of Abrams. He's been very public that he was never a big Star Trek fan, and he's always been a Star Wars person. But he made a really good pair of Star Trek films. Star Trek, for the Trekkers like me, was about exploration, and you know, it was stood up for a lot of big social issues and telling interesting, you know, space wagon train stories. Abrams gets his hands on it, and it becomes a really good, you know, pays respect to the original, but becomes a really good action film, which has me excited for Star Wars, because Star Wars has always been a really good action serial, you know, in the spirit of those 40s and 50s movie serials. So I think in terms of watching a really good movie, well made, paced, all that sort of stuff, I think we're going to be in for a treat. Star Trek, those scenes are a little bit peculiar, because, and I sort of defend it, because we're talking about excuse me as I get my Trekker hat on. We're talking about an alternate timeline. So, we're going to see timelines. Yeah, and this is the guy who gave us Lost. You know, we're going to see timelines that sort of echo the timelines we're familiar with. So it's going to be familiar but different. And I think that's sort of what hit a note for me and maybe was sour for others. You know, it was like, oh, okay, well, there's that sort of thing that happens that is probably happening in different variations through multiple timelines, you know, and I thought that was pretty cool. That said, yeah, I can understand the cheesiness, but he made a hell of a action film.
You know, I enjoyed it. I liked Star Trek Into Darkness, but it was kind of weird, because I understand with the first movie you established this alternate timeline. And so my thought was, well, in the second one, fine, we've established our alternate timeline. We're going to go and tell new stories in a new timeline. But then they went right back to that same sort of thing with Wrath of Khan and flipping it on. I mean, even to the point where new Spock Prime or Spock got on the phone with Spock Prime and said, so – tell me about this Wrath of Khan movie and what happened in it.
That was another, with the hand glass and that part was like in the first Star Trek, I liked the Spock go the different timeline and that fit to me and I bought it. This time it was just like, afterwards, I was like, what was the purpose of that? Other than having Leonard Nimoy there.
Spock's the smartest man in the room, and he knows he has this asset, and he's going to use it.
You know? But it was like, I mean, I guess it was like almost off screen, like the stuff that he must have told him to help him. Because it, like on the screen, the interaction was like, there was nothing to help other than like, this guy, Khan, was the toughest guy we ever faced, bro.
It seemed like lazy writing.
You know? I can understand that.
And to Abrams' credit, he didn't write the film, so you can't really blame him on that. But it felt like lazy writing. You know, you established this is an alternate universe. Why don't you go tell a new story? That being said, I still liked the movie.
Yes.
It's fine.
I did, too.
And as far as the direction goes, I think it was great. I think J.J. Abrams... from Mission Impossible 3, or which was his first feature film, I think he's really grown as a director. I think he's just getting better. And so I'm really looking forward to 7 just to see what he does.
You know? One thing, too, on Star Trek that I got from that I would really look forward to seeing in Star Wars is the effects were really good. Yeah. The fight sequence with Spock in San Francisco, Spock and Khan, as they're... Yeah. Whatever, they're on a garbage bart or whatever they were on. I was really paying attention to how it looked, and it looked really good. It looked like that looks like it's actually happening. Yeah.
He knows how to use special effects, like all the money in special effects. Maybe not unlike Pacific Rim. Let's make this scene darker.
That's a separate podcast, damn it.
It is. I'm sorry. That was a cheap shot.
We can go there if you want to go there, but
we can go. I'm going to restrain myself. Pacific Rim rabbit hole right now.
And truth be told, I would love to see what Del Toro to do one of these side. I would love to see Del Toro's Boba Fett movie.
Sure.
All right. Let's do it.
I'm down with that. Be prepared for some wacky creatures, though.
You thought the cantina scene had wacky
creatures. No. Yeah.
Del Toro's Ugnaught film. Ugnaught. I love story. Cloud City.
Where were we at now?
J.J. Abrams knows how to use practical effects with visual effects. And I mean, that's another thing.
He did a good job in Into Darkness. It looked great to me.
That's another thing that Kathleen Kennedy is really hyping up is the fact that we're going to have a focus on more practical effects, less green
looking
screen.
Organic.
Yeah, more props. Things like that. Yeah.
And that's why, you know, that's another disappointment with episodes 1 through 3 was Lucas was so much on like new technologies here. I can finally complete this vision of what I always
wanted. It was like somewhere in between a cartoon and a film.
Yeah.
It was like,
well, it felt too sterile.
Yeah.
You know, it felt sterile.
Mm-hmm. He got a little carried away.
Yeah.
I was like, I want to see models again. Like, remember models, George?
Or matte paintings or, you know.
Yeah.
Not everything needs to be an effect.
You know, but I am a little sad, though, because, you know, lately it's sort of gotten out about that Lucas, one of the final straws for him with selling to Disney was how people treated him on the internet. Mm-hmm. You know, the fan outrage. And I think it can be excessive.
They're bad like us.
Yeah. I think it can be excessive, but still, you know, this is the guy who gave us Star Wars in the first place.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think there has to be some level of respect for that. As much as we may be disappointed with the not having hand shot first or, you know, the no, you know, and all those little moments that sort of detracted from our original viewings of 4, 5, and 6. And Lord knows all the things that he did to 1, 2, and 3. But that said, he's the guy who gave, you know, he gave me American Graffiti. Mm-hmm. He gave me Indiana Jones, him and Spielberg. That has to be the most perfect. I watched it recently. That has to be the most perfect action film in terms of pacing.
Raiders?
Yeah, Raiders of the Lost Ark. Just watching it over and over again, seeing, you know, how it builds action and the rise and fall of it. And, you know, it's an incredible film. And, you know, him with Spielberg did an incredible job. You know?
Well, I agree. And for all the terrible things Lucas has gone back to the original trilogy and done, I am still a Lucas apologist, you know, because like you said, he was the genesis of all this, you know.
Give me outside of like a heavy nerd Lucas circle like this, like some outsider just like, you know, vaguely likes the films or whatever. Ah, Lucas, blah, blah, blah. I'll be the guy defending Lucas. And then you get us in an inner circle like this, then I'm like, all right, well, I can dump on Lucas. But hey, he's a Valley boy, so we can't dump on him too much.
I just wish he'd come back to the Valley and do something for it. Yeah. He's all about Bay Area now, man.
Yeah, building all about Marin.
Building his museum up there. You guys hear about that?
Yeah.
The Lucas Museum. He's going to basically populate it with all his collection of artwork, things that inspire him.
He's turning into William Randolph Hearst.
Build that in Modesto, damn it.
Yeah, really.
That's right.
Come on.
Make something for the Valley.
I wonder if they'll ever remake American Graffiti.
It would be interesting to do like set whatever teenagers do these days, like American Graffiti, but right now.
Oh, so they'll like they did with all those other '80s films, and but this time we'll star an urban teenager, and
but make it and the Furious.
Make it actually real instead of just about high school cliques. Make it like something that's actually going on in high school.
That's actually the big secret is Star Wars 7 is American Graffiti. In space.
It's high school. It's whatever. Tatooine High School.
As long as they bring Richard Dreyfuss back, I have no argument.
Okay, well, we've talked about all that. How about some one-offs? Again, we've touched a little bit. Some one-offs you definitely want to see. Some one-offs you don't want to see. You know, obviously, there's talk of Yoda, Boba Fett, Han Solo.
40 years later.
Darth Vader.
I know in EU he lived on, but 40 years later, I would love the opening scene of Star Wars 7 just to be this green red hand climbing out of a Sarlacc pit.
he made it out 40 years. It took him 40 years to get out.
I mean, the ones that have been rumored, Yoda, Han Solo, I'm not super interested. You mentioned an Obi-Wan film between like 3 and 4. Yeah, I'm cool. I mean, I would be cool with any sort of live action film between 3 and 4. I think that's an interesting time period. Yeah. I'm definitely looking forward
I would like to see Ewan McGregor. He's a good actor that could pull off a full film of just Ewan being Obi-Wan. I mean, you could even touch on. You could have Hayden Christensen come back. You could see what Darth's doing.
Let's not get crazy.
I mean, Yoda. You just assume Yoda was just sitting there with a bunch of in the freaking swamp. So nothing much happened over there.
I sort of get the feeling that Ewan wouldn't want to go back to that universe.
He said that he would.
He said he would.
Yeah, he recently he said he would like. He said literally said whatever they ask me to do, I'll do it.
Yeah. Wow.
I mean, you know, things can change once an offer comes through, I assume. But he said, like, hey, they asked me to do something, I'll do it.
He did say that. And I know Star Wars Rebels is coming out, the new animated series that's supposed to cover that time period between 3 and 4. Yeah. But I hope that doesn't stop him from making a live-action film, because I'd watch the hell out of it.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Watch it real good. I mean, there has to be some news about, because they're going to be, every year they said they're going to come out with one. So whatever is going to be the next year after 7, they've got to start, this has to be planning right now. So it has to be at least in the pre-production stages of it. So there has to be some news coming out of it. I was kind of expecting that to come out and Celebration Europe was something about the one-off.
Well, you know what's something that I really want to see, and I don't think they're going to do it, and I hope they do, but I don't think they're going to do it. And after four, you know, the original Star Wars, you heard old Ben talk about the Clone Wars, and everyone always wondered what the Clone Wars was all about. And so we've been there and done that with the animated series and such. But
yeah, they covered it real well. I can't imagine any Clone Wars stuff that you can cover anymore.
I really want to see the Jedi purge. I want to see Darth Vader out there exterminating Jedi across the galaxy.
Right.
I don't think it's going to happen, but I want to see it. I
90 minutes. This would be like a Jedi Faces of Death.
Yep. That would be pretty awesome.
Well, I'm like, just
that's one of those too awesome that you know won't happen because it would be too awesome things.
I'm just wondering if, you know, they're sort of stylizing it a little bit on the whole Marvel thing where they have multiple movies. They'll have like the main Avengers and then they'll have all the Avenger characters do their own films and stuff like that. I'm just wondering if it's going to be in a different, like, we'll see like characters in Star Wars 7.
Yeah.
And then we'll see a pullout.
Somebody from that
different
episode 7.
Yeah,
that could be. I mean, that it would be kind of disappointing to me, but because you want to see gaps filled.
Yeah, something else.
That's their legitimate opportunity to fill in a gap that we've always wanted to see.
That's true, but then it starts sinking in. It's like, I'm 42. I'm out of that target demographic.
Right.
So they're going to start doing things that applies to the, you know, your people that we're buying stuff for, kids. You know, the kids, and also that younger demographic. So they're going to be catering. I mean, before we started this podcast, I was saying that there's people out there that just hate Star Wars, thinks it's boring because they were raised off on the...
Who are these people? Yeah. Where are they?
Because they were, you know, for them, their Star Wars is Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter, and stuff like that. And why would they be interested in seeing, you know, more stuff on Darth Vader or more stuff on Boba Fett or Han Solo when, you know, they want to see that really cool character in Episode 7, they want to see more of on a side adventure?
Well, you know, I think we're in danger of Star Wars overload, you know, having a movie come out every year and TV series, and it could be too much.
Yeah, well, we've been saying that about superhero movies for a while, and that's still a lot of them, with the exception of maybe Green Lantern and a few others, you know, they still continue to do well.
I mean, this is coming from someone who, I'm a freaking Star Wars nerd, you know, I can't get enough Star Wars, and if I'm sitting here thinking I'm going to be overloaded,
right?
What are these people who are not really into it going to feel?
I had something I was going to say, and now it's gone.
How much of a disaster would it be for one of these movies to tank?
Yes,
because have to think that it's bound to happen.
That's what I was going to say. How much are they okay with just having a decent film, like a decent showing? Right. Like, are they in the mindset of every one of these films has to be huge? Or are they okay with just like, all right, that made money?
That's what worries me, because it has to be huge, you know, because a lot of things looked good on paper. I mean, oh, Brad Bird doing a movie about John Carter? Oh, that's okay. Mm-hmm. I'm interested in it. Bombs. Lone Ranger?
Lone Ranger was
a giant, huge
money loss.
Yeah.
That's Disney.
You would think, you know, you have Johnny Depp in that film.
Yeah.
Right? There's no way it could lose. And it did. You know, it worries me. You know, Disney needs it. I mean, granted, you know, it's animation will always bring in money, but it's live action stuff. They need a hit.
I feel like that for one of these Star Wars movies to bomb, that could really be damaging to, you know, the franchise.
Oh, yeah. J.J. Abrams better not screw this up.
J.J.?
There's no pressure, J.J.
writing. It opens with a dog barking at a... and a piece of X-Wing fighter falls from the sky onto an island.
I can't see Episode 7 being screwed, like, not bombing. There's no way.
It's going to be one of the side films.
Yeah, it's the side films that could just, like...
Kids love droids. We'll do a movie about the droids.
Droids.
IG-88 needs his own movie.
Hey, Boba Fett. Kids love Jar Jar. How about a Jar Jar one-off?
You know, though, in Jar Jar's defense, I would see a really, really cheesy Christmas TV movie.
Yeah, more with holiday Jar Jar specials, please.
Jar Jar loves Jesus.
It'd be Jar Jar.
Jar Jar and Jesus.
Jar Jar with Stephen Colbert doing a Christmas song. Sold. I will watch that.
No, Santa is, there's one year Santa's really sick, and Jar Jar comes in and has to deliver all the toys. Misa gonna deliver toys to all the children.
The sad part is I can see it happen.
Or being Disney, of course, is the Mickey Mouse factor. You know, we talked about it in the other one. Would we see an animated Mickey Mouse Star Wars movie? I mean, it wouldn't be official canon, obviously.
What, Mickey Mouse doesn't exist in the Star Wars universe?
Not yet.
They could have a Star Trek Star Trek crossover.
You know, they did well with like the family. You know, this wasn't Lucas one, but the Family Guy parodies. I could see a Mickey Mouse parody of Star Wars.
Sure. Well, there's going to be a Phineas and Ferb. There's something coming up.
Written by Michael Arndt.
Yeah, Michael Arndt's writing some sort of Phineas and Ferb Star Wars thing. There's something happening with it. I didn't get all the details, but yeah. I like Phineas and Ferb. And Phineas and Ferb has a Clone Wars voice actor.
Really?
The one that it does Obi-Wan and everything. So I don't know. It could happen.
How long can Disney keep this up?
I don't know.
I mean, they want to do a movie a year. With 7, 8, 9, maybe we have another decade of Star Wars, but you have to think that it's going to implode at some point.
Oh, yeah.
Could they keep it going?
The one thing you look at is James Bond, and James Bond has imploded a couple times, but it's come back.
Yeah, it rebuilt itself.
And
yeah, but even then, that's one movie every 2 to 3 years, barring studio problems. You know, they're looking to have a movie each year. You know, I mean, look at Marvel. Marvel had this year alone, Iron Man 3 and The Wolverine, and then we have Thor coming up. And that's 1 year. And they're able to get people to plant their butts in the seat and watch it, you know. So who knows, you know, if they can a 1 year space, you know, it still feels, you know, a little bit fresh. You know, I'm looking forward to the next Hobbit.
Doing 2 movies a year.
Yeah,
yeah, and they're fine.
Yeah, and now in the TV show this fall, but there was a thought on. Other thing about the news since we last met was the change at Disneyland. They're going to be changing the whole future area and making it Star Wars themed.
Well, they should. Not all of it, but...
At Disney World, right?
At Disney World. Yeah. Which, yeah. At Disneyland, they need to take that building that's in the corner... Whatever that circle building is that they do exhibitions in.
Interventions.
Yeah. That needs to be a Star Wars ride. Just get rid of that friggin' thing. That's a Star Wars ride, guys.
Well, you got Star Tours.
You're welcome, Disneyland. Now, Star Tours is good, but I want
animatronic cantina.
It's Disneyland is so small that you need every bit of Disneyland needs to be used properly, and that space is not used properly. And that needs to be a Star Wars ride. I don't give a crap what happens at Disney World because I ain't going to Disney World. That's in Florida. I'm not going to Florida. Disneyland's. There's no way Disney World has the same magic that Disneyland has. I'm sorry. I know I haven't been there, but
it's a different swampy.
Yeah,
magic.
There's no way. So
humid.
Give me what happens at Disneyland. I don't care what's going to happen in Orlando. So change it, damn it. Have you guys been on the latest Star Tours, the revamped Star Tours?
Yeah.
And were you the rebel?
I was the rebel.
What?
In fact, I was. I just went a couple months ago, and I was the rebel.
Where did you go? Do you remember?
Let's see. I went to Naboo and...
Endor?
And I don't remember where the second place. I went Kashyyyk.
Yes. Yeah. I went to Kashyyyk, and I went to Coruscant.
Oh. Mm-hmm. And how many?
I'm going to claim as a rebel, but I think it was a guy behind me that was a rebel.
But your head was kind of
in
the picture.
Yeah, so.
That's cool.
Yeah. There you go. Well, that
have we just killed it?
Yeah, we just killed it. Much like George. George is laughing at us right now. Ha ha, you nerd. But this has been a dork summit. Another dork summit. There's anything you want to? Where do we find you, Chris, on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter at Lefty Brown, at Married Gamers. Our website.
Listen to the Married Gamers. If you're a gamer at all, listen to the Married Gamers. It is a quality gamer podcast. That is no lie.
Well, thank you. Yeah, we continually rate high on Dorktown.
Well, we stopped the list now, so it's over.
My heart's broken now.
But no, I'm not a big gamer. I don't know if I would even qualify as a gamer. Because I don't play enough anymore. But I still have my PS3, and I love video games, and I still listen to the Merry Gamers every week. Awesome. So that should say something.
Like to hear his voice.
I know that guy.
He just likes it when we mention Dorktown.
Yeah, once in a while they mention Dorktown.
We're going to beat it pretty soon.
Yes.
Ha ha, you'll have to listen. I won't tell you what episode.
The MerryGamers.net, right?
Yeah, the MerryGamers.net. Brian. Yeah, and podcast on whatever podcast.
Stitcher, iTunes.
Yeah, yep. Exactly.
Oh, and you can find me at Brian Harley and at Dumb Drum on Twitter and Dumb Drum on YouTube as well.
And you had a with your partner, you had a nice with your sweeting of films. You're America's top sweeting film sweeter, and actually got to talk to Guillermo del Toro everything.
Our sweeted version of the Pacific Rim trailer got us to a premiere of Pacific Rim, which was pretty cool. Yeah.
Even got to have a conversation with the man himself and everything.
A very short
special
one,
invite to the screening by him.
Got a famous GDT bear hug as well. That so, yeah, was good. Well, we'll have to save the Pacific Rim talk though for another time.
When the DVD Blu-ray comes out, we'll do a dark summit on the Pacific Rim. And Chris can make fun of Brian, and
don't get me wrong. I think what Brian and Rocky did was awesome, and what they continue to do with Sweet Fest is awesome, and that the opportunities to meet Guillermo.
Guillermo del Toro.
That is awesome. You know, I'm glad that. That someone that both you and Rocky are fans of would recognize the work that you guys do as well, and that's a big compliment to you guys and even Fresno, and so yeah, I have no problems with that. The film and believe me, the film was okay in a really really horrible summer season of films this year.
Wow.
And it was a film I generally wanted to like, but didn't. We'll just leave it at that. But that's...
Oh, geez, do I get a chance to...
I'm giving you a chance.
No,
Brian,
no.
You have 1 minute. Go.
Oh, no, I won't do that. We're a different show.
It was for better, a different show. It was better than any Transformer film.
Yes.
Exactly.
Hardly. And I'm sure kids liked it. But it did. Except for the boring talking part.
Less talking, more robots. All right. And you can find my podcast, dorktownpodcast.com.
Dorktown.
The Dorktown network of podcasts, the little mini network of podcasts. And and also just want to say a shout out to Brian Young of the Star Wars podcast, Full of Sith, which I highly respect Brian as a Star Wars fan. And as a podcaster, so check out Full of Sith if you're going to check out any Star Wars podcast. But there are tons out there. Rebel Force Radio and Force.net still has theirs going. And there's a big world of Star Wars podcasting. So check it out. If you're just like a Dorktown fan, just happen to be like, what? There's other Star Wars podcasts?
That's right.
And there you go. Thank you for joining on this Dork Summit.
We're all gonna
number three
have a Star Wars lightsaber battle out there.
Yeah, we're gonna do a total nerd off lightsaber battle right now, guys. See you later.
What did you like better, Jedi or The Empire Strikes Back?
Empire.
Blasphemy.
Empire had the better ending. I mean, Luke gets his hand cut off, finds out Vader's his father, hand gets frozen, taken away by Boba Fett. It ends on such a down note. I mean, that's what life is, a series of down endings. All Jedi had was a bunch of Muppets.
May the Force be with you.